19. Marriage with the People of the Book. The clarification presented in this section is based on Amin Ehsan Islahi's view. It is generally understood that Islam unconditionally allows Muslim men to marry Jewish and Christian women. However, the placement and context of the Quranic verse which permits such marriages show that it is desirable that certain conditions be met if such a marriage is to take place. Needless to say that the Quran has been revealed as a coherent book. It is not a disjointed collection of verses as is generally believed. There is profound structural and thematic coherence in it. Each verse has a definite context, and until and unless this context is carefully kept in consideration, the true implications of a verse can usually not be ascertained. Disregarding the context of a verse often leads to serious misinterpretations which distort the stance of the Quran. It is therefore of paramount importance that each verse be interpreted in the light of its context. Consider now the context of the related verse. The following verse immediately precedes it. Al-yawma ya'isa allatheena kafaroo min deenikum fala takhshawhum wakhshawni. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu 'alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This day the disbelievers have abandoned all hope of vanquishing your religion. Have no fear of them, fear me. This day I have completed your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Surah number 5, verse 3. Consider next the verse under consideration. Al-yawma uhilla lakum at-tayyibat wa ta'amu allatheena utul kitaba hillun lakum wa ta'amukum hillun lahum وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ إِذَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذِي أَخْدَانٍ. This day all things good and pure are made lawful to you. The food of the people of the book is lawful to you and yours to them. Lawful to you are the chaste among the believing women and the chaste women among the people of the book, provided that you give them their dowers and desire chastity, neither committing fornication nor taking them as mistresses. Surah number 5, verse 6. It is clear from the above-mentioned verses that these directives pertain to the period when the supremacy of Islam had been established in Arabia, when the disbelievers had lost all hope of overcoming the Islamic forces and the Muslims had become an unconquerable force. It was in these circumstances that the Muslims were permitted to marry Jewish and Christian women. Moreover, it is evident from the verse that only virtuous and upright women among the people of the book were allowed to be taken in marriage. It is evident that in such conditions and circumstances, there was virtually no possibility of the Muslims being influenced by their religious directives and cultural traditions. Instead, there was a far greater possibility that such marriages would positively influence the women of the people of the book by inducing them to accept Islam. By analogy, therefore, such marriages today seem desirable only in societies where the cultural traditions and legal injunctions of Islam hold sway. 20. Forced marriages. The custom of forcibly marrying off one's daughter or sister prevails in many feudal Muslim societies. This, it must be appreciated, is absolutely against the freedom which Islam has granted women in choosing their spouses. Here is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said. It is narrated by Abu Huraira that the Prophet is said to have said, "A widow must not be married off without her consent, and the consent of a virgin is also necessary." People inquired, "How should her consent be obtained?" The Prophet answered, "If she stays quiet, it means that she agrees to it." Al-Bukhari, Al-Jami' al-Sahih, Volume 6, page 2555, Hadith number 6567. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said on the authority of Ibn Abbas, "A widow can take her decision herself and permission must be sought from a virgin." Muslim, Al-Jami' al-Sahih, Volume 2, page 1037, Hadith number 1421. Such forced marriages can even be revoked. Binti Khuzam says that when she became a widow, her father solemnized her marriage. She did not like the decision. So she came over to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave her the permission to revoke her marriage. Al-Bukhari, Al-Jami As-Sahih, Volume 5, page 1974, Hadith number 4805. A question may arise here. Is it imperative to seek the consent of the parents or guardians in a marriage? This question has assumed great importance in this era, since some marriages are taking place against the wishes of parents and guardians. In this regard, the stance of Islam is that the consent of parents and guardians is not a legal requirement of marriage. The legal requirements are only two. The men and women who intend to get married must be chaste, and a man must pay dower or mehr to his wife. However, the consent of the parents or guardians is a cultural and social requirement of marriage. Narratives like La nikaha illa bi wali, or No marriage should take place without the permission of the guardian, and other similar ones actually allude to this aspect. They are a corollary of the social directives of Islam pertaining to the institution of family and based on great wisdom. Since the preservation and protection of the family setup is of paramount importance to Islam, it is but natural that marriage takes place to the consent of the parents, who are the foremost guardians. It is obvious that a marriage solemnized to the consent of the parents shields and shelters the newly formed family. However, there can always be an exception to this general principle. If a man and a woman feel that the rejection on the part of the parents has no sound reasoning behind it, or that the parents, owing to some reason, are not appreciating the grounds of this union, they have all the right to take this matter to the courts of justice. It is now up to the court to analyze and evaluate the whole affair. If it is satisfied with the stance of the man and woman, it can give a green signal to them. In this case, as is apparent from a hadith, the state shall be considered the guardian of the couple. On the other hand, if the court is of the view that the stand of the parents is valid, it can stop the concerned parties from engaging in wedlock. However, no one has the authority to invalidate a marriage which has been solemnized through the consent of the parents or the guardian. 21. Regarding divorce and divorce declarations. The clarifications presented in this section are translated and adapted from Javed Ahmed Ghamadi's Mizan. Most people are ignorant of the proper way of divorcing wives. It is generally thought that a wife stands separated from her husband if the divorce is declared thrice. This notion is against the Quran, which says that a lady must be divorced by just one declaration to the effect. Moreover, there are many other misconceptions regarding divorce, giving rise to the following questions. 1. Do women have a right to divorce? 2. Should the wife pay money for seeking divorce? 3. What is the correct way of divorce? 4. How should wrongly given divorces be tackled? 5. In whose custody should the children be given? We shall deal with each of the above five questions in the following paragraphs. 1. The right to divorce. When a man and a woman marry each other, it is their utmost wish to remain in this relation of wedlock forever. They are desirous of the fact that the change in times not change their commitment to each other, and only death separate them in this world. But then, sometimes, there does arise a situation when part they must. Differences become so pronounced that it becomes necessary to sever this relationship. If such circumstances do arise that a husband and wife must separate permanently, Islam lays down a specific procedure for this separation. In Islamic terminology, this dissolution of marriage is called divorce. It says that both a man and a woman have an equal right to it. The only difference is that a man divorces a woman while a woman demands a divorce from her husband. In verses such as the following verse of Surah Talaq, إِذَا تَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَىٰ, or when you people divorce your wives, the husband has been regarded as the initiator of divorce. Moreover, the Quran has used the following words to seek divorce by returning the husband's gifts and wealth. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا يُقِيمَا حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ. then if you also feel that they will not be able to remain within the bounds set by God, there shall be no offense for either of them regarding the gifts given by the husband if the wife seeks divorce by returning them to him in ransom. These words bear clear evidence of the fact that the Sharia has granted the husband the right to divorce. Women, however, can seek divorce if they want to. If the husband refuses, she has all the right to take the matter to the court. The matter will then be decided by the ruling of the court. This prerogative, sense and reason demand, should go to the head of the family. Since, according to the Quran, it is the husband who is the head of a family, therefore he has been given this right. In other words, this right is not gender-specific, it is authority-specific. Whoever is entrusted with the authority of being the head should possess this right. Had women been more suitable to head a family, they would have been given this right. 2. Should the wife pay money for seeking divorce? A common misconception when a woman seeks divorce from her husband is that she must give some wealth to her husband on this occasion of separation. This has no basis in the Quran. On the contrary, the Quran says that it is not at all permissible for the husband to demand anything from his wife on this occasion. However, there are two exceptions to this. Firstly, if a husband has gifted a lot of wealth and property to her wife and is afraid that in divorcing her he would lose all his riches, the Quran says that she can forego some or all of her share and return it to her husband to end the whole affair. It is clear that this is only an exception and not a general principle, as is generally held and practiced. It is allowed only when the wealth is the husband's reason for not divorcing his wife. The Quran says, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَأْخُذُوا مِمَّا عَتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَن يَخَافَ أَن لَا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن لَا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And if you decide to depart from them, then on this occasion, it is unlawful for you to take back from them anything you have given them, unless both husband and wife fear that they may not be able to keep within the bounds set by God. Then if you also feel that they will not be able to remain within the bounds set by God, there shall be no offense for either of them regarding the gifts given by the husband if the wife seeks divorce by returning them to him in ransom. These are the bounds set by God. Do not transgress them. And you should know that those who transgress the bounds of God are wrongdoers. Surah number 2, verse 229. Secondly, if the wife is guilty of open sexual misconduct. Since such a behavior destroys the very foundation of marriage, a husband has been allowed to take back any gifts or wealth given to her. The Quran states, وَلَا تَعْذُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْتَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And do not treat them with harshness, that you may take away some of what you have given them, except where they have been guilty of open lewdness. And if you decide to take a wife in place of another, even if you have given the latter a whole treasure of wealth, take not the least of it back. Would you take it by slander and usurping her right? And how can you take it when you have lain with each other, and at the time of marriage they have taken from you a solemn covenant? Surah number 4, verses 19 to 21. 3. The procedure of divorce. If a husband has decided to divorce his wife, he should first wait until she has completed her menstrual cycle. And then, desisting from any further carnal relationship, he should utter the divorce sentence just once. The wife, after she has been divorced in this way, may stay in her husband's house for a period of 3 menstrual cycles. This period is called iddat. If a woman does not have menstrual cycles, owing to age, disease, or any other reason, and still there is a chance of pregnancy, then she must wait for 3 months. For a pregnant woman, this period is up to the birth of the child, while for a newly married couple who have had no contact, divorce does not entail any period of iddat for the wife. According to the Quran, there is one basic reason for this waiting period, and that is to ascertain whether a wife is pregnant or not, so that the lineage of the child does not remain a matter of doubt. Another thing which is achieved through it is that it affords the husband and other family members a chance to rectify the situation for matters in which emotions and feelings run high. Sometimes only time is needed for recovery. During this iddat period, the following stipulations must be observed. A. The husband cannot turn his wife out from the house except if she is guilty of adultery, nor should she herself leave the house. B. The wife, if she is pregnant, must not hide her pregnancy. C. The husband should continue to provide for her. D. A husband, if he changes his mind, can revoke his decision. The only thing required, according to the Quran, is that he should call in two persons to testify to his decision. If after this period of iddat a man is still firm in his stance, his wife shall be considered as separated permanently. She is now a free woman, and if she wishes to marry some other person, she has all the right to do so and must not be inhibited in any way. If circumstances change, she can even remarry her former husband. Furthermore, the Quran stresses that on this occasion of parting, it is not at all lawful for a husband to take back any property or asset gifted to her. This, it must be kept in mind, does not pertain to mahr or dower only, but to every type of gift given to the wife. Not only should a husband not take back these gifts, he should in fact give her something on this occasion of separation. Even if her mahr has not been fixed, it is better for him to give her something. If the mahr has been fixed, but the divorce occurs before the husband and wife have had contact, he must return half the money unless the wife even forgoes this. In this case also, though it is better that he should give her the whole money.